The Pirate Planet by Charles W. Diffin. Chapter 1. Lieutenant McGuire threw open his coat with its winged insignia of the Air Force and leaned back in his chair to read more comfortably the newspaper article. He glanced at Captain Blake across the table. The captain was deep in a game of solitaire, but he looked up at McGuire's audible chuckle. "Gay old girl," said Lieutenant McGuire, and smoothed the paper across his knees. "She's getting flirtatious." The captain swore softly as he gathered up his cards. "Not interested," he announced. "Too hot tonight. Keep her away."
"Oh, she's far enough away," McGuire responded. "About 70 million miles. Don't get excited."
"What are you talking about?" The captain shuffled his cards irritably.
"Venus. She's winking at us, the old reprobate. One of these stargazers up on Mount Lawson saw the flashes a week or so ago. If you'll cut out your solitaire and listen, I'll read you something to improve your mind."
He ignored the other's disrespectful remark and held the paper closer to see the paragraphs. "Is Venus signaling?" inquired the caption, which Lieutenant McGuire read. "Professor Sykes of Mount Lawson Observatory reports flashes. The planet Venus, now a brilliant spectacle in the evening sky, is behaving strangely according to a report from the local observatory on Mount Lawson. This sister star, most like Earth of all the planets, is now at its eastern elongation, showing like a half-moon in the big telescopes on Mount Lawson. Shrouded in impenetrable clouds, its surface has never been seen. But something is happening there. Professor Sykes reports seeing a distinct flash of light upon the terminator, or margin of light. It lasted for several seconds and was not repeated. No explanation of the phenomenon is offered by scientists, as conditions on the planet's surface are unknown. Is there life there? Are the people of Venus trying to communicate? One guess is as good as another, but it is interesting to recall that our scientists recently proposed to send a similar signal from Earth to Mars by firing a tremendous flare of magnesium. Venus is now approaching the Earth. She comes the nearest of all planets. Have the Venusians penetrated their cloak of cloud masses with a visible light? The planet will be watched with increased interest as it swings toward us in space, in hope of there being a repetition of the unexplained flash.
There, said Lieutenant McGuire. Doesn't that elevate your mind? Take it off this infernally hot night? Carry you out through the cool reaches of interplanetary space? If there is anything else you want to know, just ask me.
Yes, Captain Blake agreed.
There is. I want to know how the game came out back in New York, and you don't know that. Let's go over and ask the radio man. He probably has the dope.
Good idea, said McGuire. Maybe he has picked up a message from Venus. We'll make a date. He looked vainly for the brilliant star as they walked out into the night. There were clouds of fog from the nearby Pacific drifting high overhead. Here and there, stars showed momentarily, then were blotted from sight. The operator in the radio room handed the captain a paper with the day's scores from the Eastern Games, but Lieutenant McGuire, despite his ready amusement at the idea, found his thoughts clinging to the words he had read.
"What's the planet communicating?" He pictured the great globe, another Earth, slipping silently through space, coming nearer and nearer. Did they have radio, he wondered. Would they send recognizable signals, words, or some mathematical sequence to prove their reality? He turned to the radio operator on duty.
"Have you picked up anything peculiar?" he asked, and laughed inwardly at himself for the asking.
"Any new dots and dashes? The scientists say that Venus is calling. You'll have to be learning a new code."
The man glanced at him strangely and looked quickly away.
"No, sir," he said, and added after a pause, "No new dots and dashes."
"Don't take that stuff too seriously, Mac," the captain remonstrated. "The day of miracles is past. We don't want to commit you to the psychopathic ward. Now here is something real. The Giants won, and I had $10 on them. How shall we celebrate?" The radio man was listening intently as they started to leave. His voice was hesitating as he stopped them. He seemed reluctant to put his thoughts into words.
"Just a minute, sir," he said to Captain Blake.
"Well?" the captain asked, and again the man waited before he replied. Then,
"Lieutenant McGuire asked me..."